One.
Hello and welcome back to the Strong Dad Movement. My name's Stephen Rooney. I'm the Chief Dad Officer of the Strong Dad Movement, and I'm joined by the founder and head coach, Mark O'Brien. Hello, Mark.
How's it going? Thank you for coming over. You're a bit sniffly today.
Yeah.
In case it comes across on the microphone.
Yeah, a little bit full of a head cold. I'm at the back end of it now, so feeling okay. Just left a very upset, clingy little boy to come over here. Yeah. But he's all right. He's just going to get bathed and put to bed. So
yeah, right, okay.
He's causing a bit of a scene. look, we've got a bit of explaining to do, really, Mark.
Yeah.
We've been away for a few weeks.
Or a few months.
It could even be a few months. What did you say? The Champions League finals happened.
Dave was like, are you going to talk anything about the Champions League? Because he obviously knows you're a Manc.
Yeah.
Him being a Pool fan. So he wanted to get that in.
I mean, that's one of the big reasons why we haven't done a podcast. We've just been letting the wounds heal from that disaster of a season.
That was like middle of June.
No, end of June. Start of June, sorry. So first weekend of June
first
was the Champions League.
Yeah, 4 weeks would probably make sense.
Yeah.
What's happened? Have you been in New Zealand since then?
Was that Easter? No, that was Easter. Right. So I've been to Byron.
Why have we not got podcasting?
Yes, yeah, so there's there's a few things actually, Mark. So, I mean, you've been a busy boy and have pulled out of a couple of times.
Yeah.
I've been away.
Yeah.
For a weekend.
What we did try to do was get them done in the evening times, and it wasn't happening. And I've recognised that I've been burning the candle way too much on the work side in terms of, you know, really a lack of structure. We had this conversation privately before we started this, and I've just made some changes to how I, you know, run my sessions in a semi-private environment. And, you know, I was probably trying to please everyone and having, you know, people coming in at, you know, no fixed times. And to be honest, I'm sure on some mornings it showed and other mornings I didn't. But, you know, in my head during them mornings would be like, you know, someone walks in at 6:15 and they're new. And then you've got a bunch of people who have been training with me for 4 years or 6 months. And you're literally just getting pulled away. And I was always conscious of, oh, God, what's X person thinking? Is this, you know... And I just really only got organized, I suppose, and a lot of it was probably actually sort of just dealing with my own, not ego, but what I know in the strength and conditioning side of things and the physio side, you know, so I just have to pare it back a little bit. And, you know, most of the clients won't know any difference. In fact, what they'll probably experience is they will experience a much better service.
Yeah.
And they won't really know the difference between doing, you know, two conditioning days and maybe one strength day. You know, I was like, you know, we must do the conditioning in these first 8 to 12 weeks. And I'll see, you know, it's just going to be a case of trying to manage that and keeping it, you know, fun as well at the same time.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was people coming in, as I said, like 4:30, 4:45, 5:15 in the evenings, and you know they'd all be sort of doing the same thing. And you know, sometimes I get pulled away with someone who's got, you know, who really should be coming to me for physiotherapy.
Yeah.
You know, guys that can't raise their arms above, you know, 90 degrees or above their shoulder height, and you know I'd be spending time with them. And you know, it's just me trying to help everyone and trying to please anyone, and it's really my own health was deteriorating. Probably I don't mean health deteriorating, but you know, like lack of sleep, all those things. And so really I've just reined it in now to 5:30 and 6:30 in the mornings and 5:30 and 6:30 in the evenings. And,
that's getting implemented this week.
That's getting implemented this week as of this week. And I'm going to have a 9 a.m. just for a few stragglers, and they'll you know, there'll be two or three of them. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
But it gives you a good chunk of time.
It's because, look, podcasts have suffered, you know, like a lack of planning really around, you know, what we really want to achieve with the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, we set it up, you know, ultimately to inspire dads to get more active. And I've probably had to, you know, sacrifice a little bit of my vision and the Strong Dad Movement in the gym, you know, just to keep, guess, you know, service everyone's needs.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, the gym needs to get to capacity to grow and also to grow the Strong Dad movement. So it's just, you know, it's business. And, you know, I wasn't doing probably a particularly good job managing that side of things. And I had a good chat with a bit of a business guru coach. And I have to treat it as such without, you know, sacrificing, as I said, to, you know, the service. But it'll only get better because now I can, dedicate times to communication strategies for you guys. You know, put time into the nutrition and accountability, which is really like we're going to talk about later on in terms of, you know, your progress beyond 6 months and your own discipline. And, you know, if a coach is way beyond, you know, just that hour in the gym. You know, people, humans these days, they need accountability outside of the gym. And, you know, you're ultimately paying for support as well as the guidance, you know. And I need to put more emphasis into that and maybe be less methodical about, you know, doing things to a T in terms of your PRI. You must do these resets before. But look, the model's good. It's just getting refined and making a little bit more time for myself, really.
You know? And look, we're, you know, for the people listening out there, we're still very dedicated to the Strong Dad movement.
Totally. You know, we've got people referring dads, you know, you're Greg referring Chris. Look, it's just been a hectic few weeks, and you know, it's like what I've done around the business side of things. You know, ultimately we'll sit down, we'll have a chat, and see about getting guest speakers. We've talked about getting guest speakers in, and you know, having other people, not just us two, trying to inspire you know, any dads listening. Mm-hmm. But you know what, the whole thing goes back to, you know, the Strong Dad movement. You know, the 24/12 thing. You know, this isn't. You know, we're hoping, obviously, we're hoping a lot of dads tune in and they inspire their partners and
just friends. Very quickly, just in a few sentences, explain 24/12.
It's kind of like the Strong Dad movement powered by 24/12. So 24/12, 24 represents your day, 24 hours in the day. And I like to do the training in 12-week blocks.
Yeah.
And within them 12-week blocks, you know, it's something called periodization. And you know, you need to, like, your results show over this period of time because you've done the same methods, you know, just increasing the intensity on a weekly basis. So 12 is 12 week blocks, and the Strong Dad movement was essentially a 9-month program, the first 12 weeks being conditioning, developing your conditioning, the second 12 weeks your strength, hypertrophy, strength, endurance, and then that final block being strength. So you know, the idea is from there, I obviously don't want to lose clients because I will have built up a fantastic relationship with people. I don't think people will leave.
No.
But the option is, you know, where do we go from there? It's like, well, you're coming, you're out of beginner, you're intermediate, still a lot of learning to be done, whether that's done through an online model or you coming in, you know, different. I need to figure it out, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, basically, I suppose the end goal was that guys are, you know, less fearful around ridicule in the gym.
Yeah.
And they have a confidence and an education behind them in terms of the gym, and they don't perceive this anywhere else. And, you know, I think it'd be fair to say you've, you know, with the help of Morpheus and all that, you've learned a lot. You would be confident going into a gym now and, you know, not, you know, understanding how a program is to be followed, you know, and that's really only even what, 7 weeks onto the strength side.
Yeah.
No. So you know, you got to stick to the vision, and you know, ultimately it comes back to getting people physically active.
Yes.
And so yeah, the 24/12, it's a concept that one of the dads, Dave, you know, helped me develop. It was like, look, you know, this is good. You know, there's more than dads that can just follow it. So it's just putting structure to create a sustainable long-term approach to training, and not you know, a 6-week challenge, 8-week challenge thing when people will tend to go into a relapse. So I hope that makes sense. And you know, the 24 thing, obviously we talk about, you know, the breathing, the respiratory training.
Yes, of course.
Which is supposed to implement, you know, have a positive effect on your sleep. Obviously the training itself is going to have, obviously, you know, a massive change on your self-esteem and your self-confidence. We, you know, you'll have a better, you know, better idea on, you know, we use heart rate variability, but your autonomic nervous system, your how you deal with, you know, stress. And so it's everything in your day. It's your happiness, it's your sleep, it's your nutrition, which we'll, you know, get a little bit more into. It's your discipline. So I'm hoping, obviously, the methods we cover in the 12 weeks, the three 12-week blocks, that has a positive impact on your day.
Yeah.
And, you know, it has. You know,
it definitely has.
The thing is, I'm my own biggest critic, which is why, you know, I was out to please everyone. Be like, yeah, come in at any time. You know, that's absolutely fine. And it's trying to have that perfect model. But you know what? It just needs that little bit more structure. And I think if I asked anyone in the gym, they'd all be, you know, quite happy up to now anyway. And it'll get better without compromising the, you know, the vision or whatever you want to call it.
So, yeah, no, absolutely. And like you say, like it's, you know, if you're coming in at, you know, 5:30 and there's six of you or eight of you, however many it is coming in at 5:30, and, you know, four are doing one thing and four are doing the other thing, then it's much easier to you know, keep an eye on everyone. It's 100%. Much easier to correct people if the postures or whatever they're doing is not right.
You know? At least I know no one's coming in. You know, I know that's it.
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to come in at 5:30. If someone comes in before 5:30 or 6:30, the following group, they'll warm up.
Yeah, yeah.
They literally won't get my attention, and it'll be dedicated to you guys. And you're always going to have more beginners and more intermediate people, and that'll be reflected on the programming. You know,
but that's also a good thing, because the more beginners, they can look to the people that are a bit more advanced,
and it kind of want to get there.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's from a role model perspective, an inspiration perspective, but there's also just, you know, somebody to look at. Just to know, you know, which exercise to go into next and all that kind of stuff. No, and I love that, Mark.
I think really the other side, really, what really resonated with me was your comment on Saturday after we did the group one. There was me, you, Damon.
So let's just take a step back from that for a second. Talk about Saturday. So just before we go into Saturday, I just want to say I've been guilty myself for not wanting to, you know, for not doing the podcast. So on the dad side of things. My wife was in Singapore, so I was a single dad for a little while, and we can talk a little bit of that later on.
Well, didn't it?
It went great, but it meant that I had to readjust my training.
Totally.
And I think a lot of the stuff that we've been, you know, a lot of the busyness factor over the last 4 weeks, you've had things going on at the gym, the PRI, and we'll talk about that in a bit as well. But it's just, there's been probably a 5 or 6 week period for both of us where it's been
hectic, yeah.
Yeah, busy at work for both of us. Busy at home life, you know, stresses, tired, things going on. And there's been a readjustment that I've had to make from a training perspective and been able to stay disciplined. And it's gone, you know.
Because you did, like, there's times you're like 2 days a week. You were missing like a third session.
Yeah, or I was having to come in the afternoon. I was having to come in the evening and it was late.
40 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. But you know what? The positive, it's all positive, is one, you know, you still got it done as best to your ability.
Yeah.
Again, just, you know, hopefully any dads or mums or anyone listening to this that
was just like, squeezing it in, right?
Squeezing it in, but like, why? You know, why did you turn up? Why did you squeeze it in? Can you explain that? Was it because you're paying for it, or was it because you don't want to see a decline?
No, I didn't even think about the money, to be honest with you. Not wanting to see a decline because I don't want to lose the habit.
Yeah.
And this, like, today I went for a run. You just don't want to... Well, today I went for a run just because I wanted to go for a run.
Yeah, lovely.
Like, do you know what? It's because I wanted to train.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
That's the big...
Really was what I was looking
that's
for.
That's the big difference. Yeah. I actually wanted to go and train.
It wasn't a need.
No.
It was a want.
No, yeah, it was a want. It was...
Yeah, and... that's, look, to be honest, that's just music to my ears. Like, to be honest, like, taking away all the technical stuff I know and all the science is like, you know, I have it in my... So one of the reasons I wasn't... we weren't getting the podcast is I'm writing training manuals for everyone that comes into the gym. And, you know, my the objectives of Fit Plus Well is to get adults more physically active, to improve their self-esteem and self-confidence, and to teach them new things.
Hmm.
I can't teach them everything, but we can teach them new things every week, and that's it. So that sometimes it'll help me remove the ego or the physio hat and be like, look, that's what it's about, is them three things. If I'm doing them three things well, and you're saying you want to train and you're getting enjoyment, then, you know, fuck it, like.
Mate, if those are your three objectives, then I can, you know, hand on my heart, say, with me, you've absolutely hit those three things. And I've been chatting to a few people recently about my training.
Yeah.
And like, without blowing too much smoke up your backside, for me, it has been absolutely life-changing.
Oh, look, that's
unbelievable.
That's the best line. Yeah. You know, it is. And do you know what? I've had more confidence, actually, to prospects, new leads. That was another thing I was working on, was the whole six-week challenge thing. And
let's not even bother talking about that.
I'm going to have to do it again. But and it was like, I have the confidence now to actually say to someone, it's salesy, but I did say to one person, look, it'll transform your life.
Yeah,
I can promise you it will absolutely transform your life.
Mate, and, it sounds cheesy,
I know,
but it's really, really true.
It is true, because all I have to do is look at you, Tom, Bill, you know, guys that came in with different notions or injuries, and you know, just the buy-in factor, Dave,
yeah,
you know, people like that, that just that should be enough.
Yeah,
that should be enough.
There's a great group of like committed members of the gym now.
I'm not sure what it is.
The atmosphere is great.
The
still.
Atmosphere, and that was the episode. Going back to
Saturday,
we it was probably a bad example of people coming in at different times.
Bruno
was supposed to be in at 9. He came in 9:20.
Yeah.
So Bruno, bad on you. He's not one of the dads. He's one of the lads, and. But we had a tough circuit.
Yes.
Everything was compound. There was tire flips, there was sledgehammers, there was sled pushes, sled pulls.
Like heavy sled pushes.
Heavy. Like 135 kilos.
It was brutal.
Farmer carries, battle ropes, and ball slams. And that was full on. Some of us got 3 rounds, some of us got 2 rounds, depending on the time they came in. And one thing you said was, that's the most fun you've had in the gym in ages.
Yeah. No, it was ace.
So, and that's the difference. So that's why when you bring people into, and this is why CrossFit and F45 and all these other types of gyms are so successful, is because of the community at them times. And the community was a little bit staggered because of the times they came in and people doing various things. And
But it's still good,
there is that community community spirit there, but I think it'll be a little bit more fun. Like, I've had one guy in there before, and now I bend over backwards for him because he drives a bus, so his times are, you know, like, that's one person I'll have to change the rules on. So I will make myself available, but he's like, it'd be better if someone was here pushing a sled beside me. And I was going to say, well, you know, you're only at this time because you can't come the other times.
Yeah.
So, you know, the gym really is only open at this time for you. But, like, it is more fun generally when there's others, someone, they don't have to be doing the exact same thing or the exact same way.
No, but just following someone around.
Just following someone around and high fives at the end. And it was like, it was also the leadership thing on Saturday. It was like, who are we following?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, Emmett, it's me, or it was you, whoever's on the tire, or was ever on the sled pull. And then, I think there should be one of them once a week.
I'm well up for that.
But the thing is, I was talking to Bruno afterwards. He's only 3 weeks in. He says, like, there's no chance I could have done that in week one. He's only 3 weeks in.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have done 3 rounds of that, which is why people have to earn it, really, to get there. And you've had the 12 weeks of conditioning, which obviously smashing the strength. And it was tough, but at no point were you pulling out. Like, I mean, you know, there was, as we said, like, there was everything in there was compound. There was no, like, curling of barbells for your arms.
And there
was no, you know, swinging a light kettlebell or anything like that. Or there was no, you know, walk, like, lesser exercises. And
I left the gym on a high.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
So, like, you know, I think, I still think the principle of them 8 to 12 weeks conditioning, you know, at least 8 weeks needs to be done before someone can actually, you know, because the guys...
Oh, you'll injure yourself if you do that too early.
Well, they're going to injure themselves. Simple as that. Like, and I want people flipping tires, and I want people sledging against the tire, you know, but I've obviously got to be careful that people don't injure themselves, and it can easily happen. Very easily. So that's the goal. That's the vision, is like conditioning. Get your capacity up, your aerobic capacity, your aerobic power for a sledgehammer, your capacity for pushing a sled. You know, that's what all it is. Excuse me. And then you've got your strength behind you for the last 8 weeks that, you know, made you push all that heavy stuff and carry that heavy stuff. I'm going to get a glass of water.
Yeah, no worries at all. Well, I'll talk a little bit about the discipline side of things. So over the last like the last 5 weeks, it's been as tricky as it has been over the last 6 months in terms of keeping up with the training, both with my wife being away and work being full on. Yeah, things changing. I was away with work for a couple of nights as well. Alfie is, you know, becoming more challenging. He's 2 years old now. So, oh, well, no, he's not two. He's nearly two. He's 4 months away from being two. And he's starting to have tantrums and things like that. So the whole, like, family side of things is really starting to kind of...
More challenging?
Yeah, just turn up a little bit. But, like, if I hadn't have had this past 6 months...
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, there's just no... There's no way I would even, like... I think what I'm trying to say here is if you're going to start, well, coping is a big thing, but then the whole starting piece, right? There's no good time to start, but I'm so happy that I started six months ago.
Yeah, because your life is about to get absolutely a hell of a lot more complicated in the next even, 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
And energy, it comes down to energy management. I think we've talked about this in the past, you know, like how even your, I don't want to say attitude to work, but your energy at work changed, and probably your coping mechanisms changed as a result of you just being in a happier headspace.
Do you know what? My boss's boss gave me some feedback the other day, and part of that feedback was my calmness in certain situations. And that's only just...
That's like...
I've only just connected the dots there.
We don't talk about it at all, and we don't talk about it, the effect, and because corporate is pretty close to it's something that I've said.
Well, it's a good thing to break into.
Really,
if we
needs,
can, yeah.
really needs to change, and we talk about the change it had in your life and your physical condition and your mental condition, but work is the biggest part of your life.
Yeah,
and it's like with heart rate variability. So you're measuring it and you're consistent on it and you make better decisions. So calmness, I think, has a big part in that. And we talked about the autonomic nervous system, how you flip between stress and rest. And, for a lot of people, it's like an elephant is sitting on one side of the seesaw. So they're not calm, they're not making good decisions, and they're not training generally. And aerobic conditioning is the best way to improve your heart rate variability, which means ultimately you're going to be calmer and make better decisions at home and at work for your family, for whatever else. So it's a big thing that we probably need to use the podcast as a way of maybe reaching more people via corporate rather than just trying to reach one person. Having a bigger reach, and maybe anyone listening to this can, I don't know, it's corporates are going to get more out of it and people are going to be happier in their jobs.
Yeah.
Because it's nice to get that feedback too.
Yeah.
People recognize that.
Yeah. If you can find a way of articulating the ROI on it, then you'll get investment.
Yeah,
it's just a hard thing to articulate.
It is a hard thing to articulate, but it's worth a private chat between the two of us. Your accountability going forward. So I have never given you one bit of nutrition advice. And yet you have, you're the lightest you've been since a teenager.
So
are you finding that more challenging as you grow through your training?
A little bit. I think you just find it. I think the accountability in it, I suppose it comes down to the discipline piece. I've just been cheating a little bit more.
Are you giving yourself a pat on the back?
A little bit, yeah, but not too much. I went through a period of over Lent during the Easter period that I didn't drink alcohol.
I think was the big one.
That was huge.
That's why you got them big results.
And now my relationship with alcohol is very, very different. And that's a mixture of the training and doing that period.
Yeah.
Where, I've had a glass of red tonight. I had, two pints yesterday.
Yeah.
But that's it for the whole weekend.
Jeez.
And I hadn't drank since the previous Saturday.
Yeah.
So... That's enough. Yeah. That's below your units, I would have thought. So from that side of things, I'm still on a good path. The big thing with me with the nutrition was I was just try, not really, I mean, I don't eat a lot of processed foods, no. I don't drink no. soft drinks,
yeah.
So in terms of the, like my biggest kind of vices are butter.
Your own cooking.
Yeah, yeah, so, but yeah. I just use a lot of butter yeah. in my own cooking, and... Yeah.
It's not every day.
Not every day.
Your roast and a sun. You know, yeah, yeah.
But you know, those, it's, everything's always, most of the time, homemade.
Yeah.
And using, you know, pretty good ingredients. So nutrition wise, I'm pretty comfortable with. What I was doing was not eating past a certain time. So yeah. I wasn't eating past 7 o'clock at night.
Yeah, right.
So
what's lacking in the nutrition that you'd like to,
like to know, like,
is there some? Is there anything?
Not really. I mean,
anything for the dads out there? Do you think they might be?
I think for the dads out there, it depends if they like to cook or not, right? So I'm in a bit of.
Let's say they're not. Let's say that. Let's say 60-70% of the dads listening to this don't cook, and they eat a sandwich every day for lunch, plus something else, a bar of chocolate.
Yeah,
and at dinner they probably have pasta and rice and spuds. And
well, yeah, I mean, I think what you then need is, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with any of those things that you just said. I think it's just about
good whole foods.
Yeah. It comes down to that portion control.
It comes down to the portion control. It comes down to the timing. Yeah. So,
and I'm shit at portion control. So
here's your brother. But I think you're training 5 times a week. Okay.
Three to four, I reckon. Five's probably pushing it on average.
Well, you're definitely getting four, which is above. So if we go 4 out of 7 days, you're like,
yeah,
45, 50,
yeah,
my 20, 40, 60, 80. Jeez, my maths. I'm thinking 5 days. So 4 out of 7, you're above average on your training. This is when people come into me 3 times a week, and you know, when we have a conversation around their fat loss, it's like, look, what you're doing in here is amazing. You're getting in at 5:30 in the morning. You're loving the training, which is an even bonus. But it's only 3 days out of 7, okay, which is below a pass in my eyes.
Right? Yeah.
So, you know, just whatever results you may be expecting is just, you know, let's be realistic. And, you know, you've got weekends where you're not training. So for me, weekends... outside of, you know, the family and that, they're free days. I always see them as free days. They're the days you should be trying to find an hour to get the run in and that. So I think, you know, most guys, if they're not training, they're all them foods we mentioned are all absolutely fine foods.
If you're training, yeah, yeah, agree.
So if you don't train, don't have your pass, don't have your start. Yeah, yeah. You know, and look at it going forward. Now that I've got more time in that, Claudia in the gym is, you know, big on nutrition and accountability, and I've really just kind of witnessed that over the last number of weeks. So we're going to put a hell of a lot more around the nutrition side, and you know, I can't be around people's house feeding them. I can in the gym, yes, I can teach them,
yeah,
but I can't be in their house feeding them.
No, so of course not.
You'll get the advice, and then it's, you know, hopefully there's enough there to inspire you or guide you to at least on the other 3 days follow a healthy regime that you're not training. That's how people will get results.
And I think on the nutrition side of things, I think that's completely you know, that individual's choice. Totally. You know, when you're in when I walk into the gym and you tell me what to do,
yeah,
you know, I'm looking for your expertise to make sure that I'm doing the right things in the right order and in the right way so that you know, you get the results you're looking for and you're not injuring yourself. But from a nutritional perspective, I don't have any wants from you.
Yeah. And John, my expertise, and this is where, you know, you stick to your expertise. My expertise is in that coaching and physio side of things, and I do that well. And I think if I decided all of a sudden to study nutrition, all that other stuff would suffer. So you outsource it. If someone wants nutrition advice, go see a nutritionist. You don't have to see a nutritionist 3 times a week. Go see them once. Get a body fat analysis. We can do that in the gym anyway, on the scales. It's, you know, it's pretty accurate. And go see a nutritionist. Like, all you need to do is see a nutritionist maybe once a quarter. Spend $100 on it. And don't rely on maybe getting everything out of a gym, which is probably where people's expectations are so high on gym and personal training. It's like, let's take a step back.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we're not physios dietitians, psychologists, psychiatrists, and that's sometimes trainers overextend themselves on that. But there is a lot of advice we can give.
You know, of course.
There's lots of loads of stuff we can give, but there's something else I want to hit on there, and I forget, but it'll come back to me. It was about the... It'll come back at some point. But what else have we got here? Saturday session we talked about. Where do you see yourself in 6 months? You're 6 months in another 6 months. Like, you know, where do we go with the poster boy here?
So
what's left? You've got, you know, of the 9 months, yeah, let's say, you've got another 4 weeks in strength hypertrophy. And, you know, you'll probably be going, developing your really squat. I think that's where we need to go with you. And the only difference between the final block and the middle block is volume decreases and intensity increases.
Yeah.
And that's a difference of, rather than it being, you know, you're very aware of the work you're doing to your muscular system at the moment. Whereas when the intensity goes up, so what I mean by intensity is the weight goes up on the bar, for example. So his bench press and trap bar deadlift, all these things will go up in intensity, and the volume goes down. So it's more like a training of a neuromuscular system. So there'll be a lot more fatigue and more rest in between exercises. So, you know, ultimately, where I see it is we'll eventually have like a 2 rep, 3 rep maximum for you.
Yeah.
Not 1 rep. It's absolutely, you know, it's nonsensical for general population. And, like, you know, let's take Thor, for example. You know, he's 90 kilos for 12 reps.
On his floor press,
so
yeah.
He'll move into a bench press.
Yeah.
And I would expect, you know, by the end of 9 months, for 3 reps of a bench, he'll probably be about 120 kilos.
Okay.
130 kilos.
Okay.
So for you, it'll be your trap bar deadlift was about 60.
It was 85.
85.
Yeah, that's why I had a sore back.
Two blues and two greens.
yeah.
That's why it was a bit of a sore back. So let that be. He basically went up from
65 to 85. Yeah.
And to be honest, I remember putting the weights on the bar and thought, "Lucky, let's give it a go."
Yeah.
And this is where, you know, the training approach going further, more core. And but you know what, you still came in Saturday and pushed 135 kilos on a sled. So
it was just a bit tight. That was all.
Yeah, a bit tight, and it's just that little warning sign that back off a little bit. So it's a sign. It's a symptom. Yeah. It's a symptom. A little bit of pain. So you know, I would expect you to be going well over 120 kilos on your trap bar deadlift by the end of it. But like, you know. So I've got this kind of thing going on in my head now is like, you know, you either choose growth or decline, right? So with training, if you don't train, you're choosing decline.
Okay, yeah.
You're choosing for your body and your mind to decline.
Yeah.
You do have that choice. You choose growth and you've, you know, cut out the piss a little bit more, anything else, and you choose to because you wanted to and you went for the run today. It's like in 6 months, what are you going to choose? You know, like what's, you know, what do you see yourself doing? Is it like, do you want to focus more on strength? Do you see you're focusing more on marathon? Do you, you know, like, do you want to change your body shape even more?
It's interesting, right? Because I just, like, I suppose,
is it just maintenance?
Is it just maintenance? Well, I think it's more than maintenance. I think I just, like, I've gotten to a frame of mind now where I just want to train.
Yeah.
So
you want to grow.
Whatever. Let's grow. I just want to grow, right? Yeah. So whatever that may be. So whether it's, you know, I've still not done 10 full chins yet.
Yep.
So I'd like to do that. But not, you know, it's not like, oh.
No. But it's not an ego thing. You're not going to go around into your office saying, I just did 15 chins. It's like, what's the next step?
Yeah.
You do 10 chins, you do 15 next.
Yeah.
Where do you go after 15? Where do you think you go after 15 chins?
20.
No, you do 15 weighted.
Okay, right.
You literally put a weight around you on a belt and you go for 15 weighted. And that's just, that's strength. And what comes with strength is, obviously, you know, bigger muscles. And now I think you've got it that, you know, you're 8 weeks in and you're leaner, obviously. But you know now, for guys who get big, it's a completely different type of training.
Yes,
right?
Your
muscles aren't bursting out through your t-shirts or anything.
No.
And they won't be to get 15 weighted chins.
Not even close.
Not even close. So for 15 weighted chins and all that, you are going to get bigger muscles.
But do you know, I just want to keep strong and fit for Alfie and for George and for life. So
what about you?
And me, but it's easier to abuse yourself, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and everyone does it, right? So it's like, you know, when it was just, and I suppose I'm just getting older and probably a bit more mature, but you know, I don't mind smoking a cigarette, but I'd hate Alfie to smoke a cigarette. Those kind of things. So,
well, like, put it this way. There's everyone we know, like, going back the whole, where do you go from here? Like, growth thing is, as you get older, you know, muscle mass and bone density. What people don't really understand, and which is why I put people through the sort of strength hypertrophy, is, like, you know, they need to grow a bit of muscle, ultimately, for their bones to get more dense.
Yeah.
Because what happens is, the muscles get bigger, the bones have to adapt. It's all about adaptation. So the bones adapt, and that's why it's so important for older females and older men to be doing strength training.
Yeah.
Because the bones will adapt to the heavier load. The muscle is dense.
Yeah.
You know, so the density of that muscle is going to increase. So the bone has to adapt and layer down more bone to handle the new weight of the muscle. That's all. That's really why strength training is so important.
Yeah.
Plus the whole hormonal side of it too.
Yes.
So never ends. Because you're going to continue to lose bone density as you get older.
Yeah.
So you're going to replace it by just continuing to weight train.
No, and I think this is, it's just a, you know, hopefully, and I hope I don't eat my words or but I think this is just like lifestyle now.
Yeah.
So like,
what's the risk factor over the next 6 months?
The risk factor over the next 6 months. Well, I mean, here's one for you, right? So I'm going back to the UK for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's definitely got a bit of a derailment.
Yeah.
But what I need to speak to you, you know, off air of what to do to avoid that. So yeah. I know I can run, and I'll get plenty of runs in.
Yeah.
But I probably need to find.
You have to get access to a gym.
A gym, yeah.
Yeah, because you just, there'll be nothing worse. You'll get it back quickly, but there's nothing really worse than getting your strength up, and it doesn't actually take much to maintain strength. So I do read obviously articles on strength and conditioning. And, you know, really 30 minutes a week, 60 minutes a week, once a week is enough to maintain your strength.
Right.
So for people out there, again, thinking that this is, you know, like totally destabilizing their whole setup, it's like, you know, get through the 9 months, get a, you know, base level of strength or your true level. You know, they've never strength trained, so they don't know what their level of strength is. And then, you know, you might be on 120 kilos on a trap bar, and that'll be sufficient, you know, to maintain once a week type thing. So really it might be a case of just going to a gym once a week to maintain your chins, your bench, your trap bar and your squat. So it won't be too difficult to manage. It is a risk factor, obviously, and you're there to have a good time. But
I don't really see the risk at the moment from a, I mean, the next big milestone is baby number two. And that could be, you know, but again, I can still carve off an hour.
Look how Tom and Kate, you know, they manage it, and you know, it's what'll be different this time around with baby number two. I think even from, you know, when I have a husband and wife training in the gym, I obviously get two different perspectives.
Perspectives. Yeah,
and so I hear it coming from the wife how important it is to the husband. So it's changed. The whole dynamic has changed over the period of time that, you know, one person's been training. So the point I'm trying to make is George will see how important the training is to you and the family life, and the negotiation will continue.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So there'll be no one putting the foot down in terms of anything like that. And I think there's probably, as you said, you know, little risk. It might be a little bit of changing of times and all that. And
but no, I'm looking forward to it. I think just as we wrap up today, I mean, how long have we been chatting for now?
39 minutes.
Right. So really, I want to wrap up today is, you know, we're 6 months
in.
And in terms
6 months
of
summary.
So just 6 month summary in terms of the training and being part of the Strong Dad movement is, I've lost 14 kilos in weight.
Wow.
And my metabolic age, according to your magic scales...
You're the only one under 30.
...was 29.
Yeah.
My body fat percentage.
That was a good one. We should talk about that. Was your body fat? You are the only. So let's put. This is why he's the poster boy. There's a couple of poster boys. So he's the only one with a metabolic score less than 30, and there was only one other, two other people that had like a year beneath them. So like Steve was about 7 years beneath his actual age, and he was the only one less than 20% body fat. And this was nothing drastic. We just talked about he didn't change his nutrition. He cut down on the piss a bit, and he trained 3 to 5, generally, let's say, average 4 times a week.
Yeah.
And one of those was a run home, possibly.
Yeah.
Or a run on a Saturday and 3 during the week.
Yeah.
So nothing crazy here at all.
No. Nope.
Very, very, what's the word? Sustainable.
Sustainable, manageable. Yeah. You can fit it in. I mean, in terms of, so let's think, so... So my resting heartbeat is still below 50.
Yeah, fantastic.
For most of the time, yeah. My heart rate variability score is generally around about 78.
Yeah, fantastic.
It was 82 this morning, but I've been having jumps up.
Yeah,
so
I've
gone from floor pressing a 20 kilo bar to floor pressing 60 kilos.
For how many reps? 12 reps.
Well, no, it was 10 reps for 3 times. So I didn't quite get
12, 10, and 8.
I did 12, 10, 10.
So, there you go. You did it for 12.
Yeah, did it for 12. Yeah, yeah. My deadlift was 85 kilos. 85.
And he's talking like as if he knew what these exercises were.
Oh yeah, I didn't know. So I didn't know what they were. I didn't know how to do these things before.
These are things he didn't. It's not like he went from 25 to 60. He went from not knowing what the hell the movement pattern was to actually, you know, having the confidence to step into the bar without any supervision and lift 85 kilos. That's the big one.
Yeah.
The big one for me then is, so you're moving well, you're feeling, you know, that your sense.
I'm feeling great. You've known me for however many years.
I would never have these conversations with you around training.
No.
Never. You know, like, I would avoid these conversations with you because... I'm not going to say I need to start opinionated or anything like that, but you would have, like, if you didn't agree with something I said, you would, you know, say, well, it's absolutely fine not to train, or if people feel happy not doing it, that's fine.
Yeah,
But it's not fine because the evidence is here in front of you, you know, and it inspires other people. That's what's not fine about not doing these things. And these things spread, and it changes people's lives, and it transforms people's lives. And in a time when, you know, there's such mental health problems. Depression, by the way, 2030 has been fast-tracked to an earlier time, the biggest cause of mortality. And, you know, it's not fine. And we need leaders like yourself to spread the word and continue to lead by example.
But, mate, no, it's been absolutely life-changing. And you know, I'm looking forward to going home and to seeing people and for them to see the difference in me.
Fantastic. Right. You deserve it. You should feel like that because you've put the work in. You've gotten up at 4:45.
Yes, you know, like, a lot of mornings.
Not, you know, sugarcoat this. You know, sugarcoat it all. You get up early to do this. That is a massive discipline. We talked about it earlier, and you know, there's nothing wrong with your discipline. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. And, you know, hopefully your willpower is at its strongest for you to continue this long into Alfie and baby number 2. And like what my dad did, inspire me to stay physically active into, you know, into...
Well, I'm going to be... When Alfie's 16, I'm going to be 50, right? So
I want to be... You'll be pumping out strong dad games. Yeah. You'll probably be the strong dad masters champion.
Yeah. I need to keep in good nick for that.
Yeah,
I just have to.
Like, 50's so young. Like, think about a few years before that, in your 40s. Like, so it's just people should still be competitive as long as. And your competitive streak, by the way, is coming out. And we're going to wrap it up at that.
Right. Okay. Right. Nice one. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
See you soon.